everybody, and welcome in. Matt Lodi along with Tony Bogan, and this is podcast number 2 of the NEOSI High School Preview Podcast for week 1 for 2017. It is hard to believe, but it is upon us. The 2017 high school football season has arrived and gets going in full force with games tonight, if you're listening on Thursday, with a ton of games on Friday, and of course on Saturday as well. All the hard work that the kids have put in from pretty much all off season, all winter, all spring, and of course now here all summer is going to come to fruition starting tonight in some areas. We'll talk about that. We've got a ton of games tomorrow, including 14 games on the NAOSI slate. We will talk about all of them and even games on Saturday. Tony, good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
Well, Matt, I'm just excited for high school football start. It's like your second Christmas. Seeing all that 5-7-on-7, talking to some of the coaches, and going to scrimmages, it's finally... it's football season again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's hard to believe that the summer has quickly turned into football season. Of course, you know, used to be years ago. I remember when I started covering high school football back in the 90s, you know, you wouldn't really get going until sometimes even after Labor Day or right before it. But here we are on August the 24th, and we've got games tonight. San Ignatius is in action. Parma's in action. We'll talk about that. And Avon, the Eagles, the undefeated Eagles from a year ago, are basking in the glow of Florida. They're taking on Merritt Island tonight down in Florida, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Before we even talk about week one slates, we've got a little bit to discuss from last week. We've still got some divisions that we wanted to hit upon. Let's start with the Akron City series last year, Tony. Akron East, 7-3. They were 6-0 overall. You wrote a preview on that that's on the site right now. You could check it out. And tell me a little bit about what you know about the Akron City series. I assume East is hungry for more this year. You've got Firestone. Ellett had a great year last year. They were 8-2. And then you wrap it up with Buchdol, Akron Garfield, Kenmore. And then Akron North did not win a game a year ago. What do you see out of that division this year?
I see Akron East repeating in the ACS. And to go a step further, I can see him possibly pulling off an upset against Jackson. I saw him in a scrimmage a couple weeks ago. They looked like a well-oiled machine. The head coach down there is doing a wonderful job down there. I talked to DeCavalier Floyd, one of the running backs, and he said he's excited to get things started. But don't look past Buchdol and don't look past Ellett. They always contend in the ACS year in and year out. And Kenmore Garfield, excited to see what they've got this year now that they've combined schools.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting combination, kind of like what Berea and Mid-Park did a couple years ago, and now, of course, you know, known as the Titans, if you will. That's going to be very interesting, as you said, out of that Akron City series. We'll have to keep an eye on it, but I would have to agree with you. It looks like East is probably the powerhouse in that one, but again, that's why they play the games, and they'll get underway this weekend. Let's move over to the Chagrin Valley Conference. We talked a little bit last week about the Valley Division. Of course, Cuyahoga Heights was undefeated last year at 10-0, 7-0 in division play, followed by Kirtland, a very strong 9-1. Independence, 7-3. They will be in action this weekend as they get off to a start against the Columbia Raiders. That should be a very, very fun game to watch at Columbia. But let's talk today a little bit about the Chagrin Division. We didn't hit on that last week. Last year, Perry, 10-0, 7-0 in divisional play, followed by Wycliffe, a strong 8-2. They were 5-2 in divisional play. West Geauga, Chagrin Falls, Orange, Beechwood, Geneva, and Harvey wrapping up the Chagrin Division of the Chagrin Valley Conference. Tell me a little bit, Tony, about what you see out of this division. Belong to Perry and Wycliffe, I assume, would be the 1-2 again this year.
I can see Orange potentially being a dark horse. I believe if they finish over 500 again this year, not that I'm biased or anything, because I have family that goes to Orange.
Yeah, no doubt.
They went 6-4 last year, and I'd like to see if Orange can... their game against Perry, which will be at home, will basically be a huge determining factor whether or not they make the playoffs, because they've got a good non-conference schedule going. And look for Chagrin Falls to bounce back. Perry's going to be on top. Wycliffe is probably going to be the second or third. But don't dip on West Virginia or Chagrin Falls, because I would feel Chagrin Falls is going to make it back to the front of the line.
Yeah, and you know, when you're talking about that particular conference, those competitive games in both divisions are so much fun to watch. It's always a very, very good competitive league. I expect us to see some barn burners out of there this year.
Oh, yeah. especially with Josh Petruccelli is returning for Perry. Yeah, Williams, who's looking for their third 500 year in a row, and you don't even keep on Beachwood or Harvey either. They the sky's the limit for them. Look for one of them to possibly make it back.
Let's talk a little bit about the North Coast League. We did not hit upon them last week either. You've got the Blue Division. Archbishop Hoban was 9-1 last year, 5-0 in conference play. NDCL, again, a very good 7-3. Lake Catholic was 5-5. Padua, 5-5. You previewed Benedictine, 3-7 last year. Welsh Jesuit, 1-9 out of the Blue Division. Let's start there. Archbishop Hoban, again, a very, very good 5-0 in conference play last year. They were 9-1 overall. What do you look back, what do you see out of the Knights this year?
I see the Knights I don't believe they'll be 9-1 again this year, but I believe they will still make the playoffs. It's really impressive to see how that program has turned it around the past few years. Because a few years ago, their team was not that great, but they've turned it around big time. They've won back-to-back state championships, and now they've got themselves up a division. And they're playing a long game against the powerhouse of St. Ignatius tonight. That's going to be exciting times ahead for the
whole
Knights.
Yeah, that game, by the way, tonight, again, if you're listening to us on Thursday when this podcast posts, that game is tonight at 7 o'clock at Archbishop Hoban. Boy, what an early test for both teams, really. And, you know, Tony, when you're talking about week one, we saw it last year. There were a number of early upsets in the season. And when you're talking about these non-conference games, you know, sometimes, you know, teams get off the sloppy starts. We've seen it in years past. It could be a night for the Knights of Archbishop Hoban to get off to a good start. I guess we'll just have to obviously wait and see.
Yep. And also with NDCL, I expect them to be good this year. Lake Catholic is going to be moving up competitive-wise, so they're going to have to step up this year.
Yeah, no question about it. That should be, a fun division to watch. Let's move over to the White Division of the North Coast League. Last year was St. Thomas Aquinas at 8-1, 4-0 in divisional play. You had VASJ at 4-5. So really, other than St. Thomas Aquinas, VASJ at 4-5. Warren JFK was 8-1, but only 3-1 in division play. Cleveland Central Catholic, another team that we have previewed on the site, was 3-7 a year ago, 2-3 in divisional play, followed by Trinity at 2-8 and 1-4 in divisional play, and finally Youngstown Valley Christian was 2-8, 0-5 in divisional play. You know, after St. Thomas Aquinas and Warren JFK, both 8-1 and 3-1, or I'm sorry, St. Thomas Aquinas was 4-0, but you got VASJ and Warren JFK both at 3-1 divisional play. What do you look at out of the White Division for the North Coast League?
I would just say Thomas Aquinas to be strong as usual. Look for Cleveland Central Catholic to bounce back. They didn't do too bad in the scrimmage I saw them play against. And as far as the other teams, I haven't really done a lot of research. But I believe one of the Valley teams actually moved the division to one of the other county divisions. I think the Valley moved to one of the other Valley divisions.
Gotcha. Okay. We'll keep an eye on that, and of course, as we go throughout week one through the season, we'll have all those standings updated on NEOSI. Again, I'm Matt Lodi. It's Tony Bogan. This is week one. It's our preview podcast for high school football in Northeast Ohio. It gets underway tonight. That is Thursday, the 24th, if you're listening to us, and we've got some big games on tap. We'll talk about all of them here coming up in just a few moments, but before we do that, I want to talk about the Independents real quick. Of course, we did mention San Ignatius. They are in action tonight in a great game against Archbishop Hoban down in Akron. Also St. Ed's, Western Reserve Academy, Massillon Washington, University School, Gilmore, Lutheran East, St. Vincent St. Mary, and Garfield Heights. All those teams very, very good, maybe with the exception of Garfield Heights, who struggled last year at 2-8. Everybody else over 500. When you look at the Independents, obviously it always starts and ends with Iggy and St. Ed's, but you know, Western Reserve Academy had a good year last year. Massillon Washington had a great year. University School and even Gilmore had a good year a year ago.
Yeah. Look for University School and make the playoffs again this year. They've got a great quarterback in Jaden Cunningham, who committed to Youngstown State University. And Gilmore returns a lot of stars from last year. So look for U.S. and Gilmore to make a playoff run. And look for Garfield Heights to improve this year. They went 2-8, but they... have a great receiver in Trevon Lindsey, who's going to be a junior, I believe.
All right, and that's something to keep an eye on as well. Of course, Garfield Heights, again, in the independents right now, it's hard to believe that they can't get themselves into a conference. There's a variety of reasons behind that. Let's talk a little bit about week one, Tony. Obviously, it's always interesting to see how these teams start the year. You know, a lot of teams have been in school now for at least a few days. I know, like in Parma, they started a week ago. The Brecksville-Broadview Heights area started a week ago. Some schools started on Monday. You know, again, it's very interesting because in years past, most schools did not start before week one of the high school season gets going. We discussed this last week in depth about is it good, bad, or indifferent if kids are in school early. I think we're going to see the results, you know, because again, a lot of these kids have already begun their normal classes at various high schools around the area.
Yeah, because you've got the kids already in the groove thing, which is why sometimes a week before school starts, you'll have the kids practicing it from 4 to 7 or 4 to 8, which is basically just to get them, ease them into what's going to be like for the school year. I think, to be honest, it depends on what area you're in. It's like, it's good to start the season 1-0 before school starts. So, therefore, you've got all that excitement.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we'll see how these teams get rolling tonight. Again, we mentioned it a few moments ago. We've got Avon in action down in Florida. We'll have an update on that tonight. And also, as we mentioned, Iggy and Archbishop Hoban. And a game that we will have covered right here on NEOSI tonight. It will be in Byers Field in Parma at Bolton Field, I guess, if you will, as the Parma Redmen, 5-5 a year ago under head coach Bruce Saban. They started out 3-1. They were red hot and then ran into a lot of injury issues. You can check out that preview on our site for the Redmen. They will take on a Lincoln West team, a very interesting team that's 3-6 a year ago. You know, you look at this matchup, and again, obviously on paper, it previews that, you know, Parma should be able to get out of town with a victory. But again, you know, a 3-win team from a year ago in Lincoln West, you just can't take any team lightly, especially early in the year.
Definitely can't, because sometimes some of those teams that you think it'll be a cakewalk, some of those teams either end up making the game really close or actually going a step beyond and pulling off an upset. And Parma is definitely looking to bounce back after their rough finish to last year. I think Parma should win in this game.
Yeah, I do too. I think Parma will win and win handily, I guess, if you will. But again, cannot count out Lincoln West, if you will. That team is always interesting to watch. You know, I don't know exactly how many kids they have there. I know when I've talked to a lot of coaches, I'm sure you've had the same result. Numbers are down in high school football. And again, I don't know if that goes back to kids not playing due to fiscal reasons, due to the concussion situations that we've seen highlighted so much around pro football. But you know what? Whatever reason it is, kids are not playing. A lot of kids are not playing this year, and it's interesting to see. So we'll see tonight. The other thing with that game is I want to highlight here for any OSI viewers, watchers, readers, whatever you want to say, we will have that game streaming live on YouTube Live tonight, so you can watch the game as it happens tonight from Byers Field. We will have play-by-play coverage from one of our sister sites, allsportscleveland.com. Actually, the game will be on northcoastunderground.com, part of the Ohio Media School, but we will have the play-by-play and video tonight of that game as it takes place live from Byers Field. If you're watching or listening to this, rather, this afternoon, that being Thursday, you will see a link tonight on the post for that game, Lincoln West and Parma tonight from Byers Field. And actually, I'll be on hand reporting that game tonight, and I'll have all the coverage for you, pictures, as well as the how that thing plays out tonight. All right, so week one tomorrow, let's talk about some of the games that we'll be covering on NEOSI that you can read about late tomorrow night, early into Saturday. And of course, we have games to talk about for Saturday as well, including one Tony will be at for Cleveland.com. Tomorrow night, here's our slate. Strongsville, Berea, Brunswick Highland, Elyria, Avon Lake, Olmsted Falls, Brecksville, NDCL at Willoughby, Independence at Columbia, North Olmsted at Valley Forge, Euclid at Glenville, a great game there. North High will be at Westlake. You've got Amherst and Clearview, Solon Aurora, and roads in Brooklyn. So we are covering it all over the place tomorrow night. Let's start with just a quick synopsis of some of these games real quick, Tony. Roads in Brooklyn. Boy, the Hurricanes a year ago lost to Brooklyn, or I should say lost to Rhodes. The Rams came in on opening night and beat them 49-0. You know, Brooklyn, another tough situation there. It'll be interesting. Let's see if Brooklyn can get onto a good start tomorrow night.
I believe that Brooklyn has nowhere to go but up. And for Rhodes, this will be the first year without my coach, Bill Jerry, who passed away from cancer last year. I look for the Rhodes Rams. It'll be a good game, but I'd say that the Rams will roll easy. And I believe the Rams are going to have a good year this year. They also made the Senate City Championship last season. So look for the Rams to, I believe the Rams will be okay this year. They'll be coming out motivated and looking to play well for the late head coach, Bill Jerry.
That game will be at Brooklyn, 7 o'clock on Friday night. Dave Alligood will be covering that for the site. Philip Scott will be in Aurora. It's Solon and Aurora. That's out on the east side. What do you think about that game, Tony?
I saw Solon win last week against North Ridgeville. Their offense looks very exciting, and they've got one of the basketball players actually came out for the football team this year. I think it'll be a close game, but I think Solon with the home field advantage, after they got taken to five by Aurora a couple seasons ago, I think that Solon will win a close one against Aurora.
Again, Philip Scott will be covering that for us tomorrow night. Out on the west side, Ashley Bastock will be at Amherst and Clearview. Amherst, Steele, of course, with new coach Mike Passarello, they're looking to get off to a fast start. What do you look back on Amherst and Clearview tomorrow night?
I think that Amherst should win, but I think Clearview will improve this year.
Let's go up to Vince McKee. He will be at Berea Mid Park, or Berea, I guess, tomorrow night as Strongsville takes on Berea. Strongsville, a tough year a year ago. Berea, not all that much better. What do you look at with Strongsville and Berea?
Both teams are going to have bounce back seasons this year. Which team will go the furthest forward? That will be determined in tonight's week one game. This game is literally a toss-up. I can't predict the winner of this one.
North High will be at Westlake. We will have that game. Patrick Kennedy will be on hand. Westlake, another Demons, another team that's hard to figure out, Tony, when I look at them, when I've seen them last year. Some weeks they look like barn burners. Some weeks they look like they can't tie their shoes, I guess, if you will. In other words, they struggle. What do you look back when you look at the Demons and North High tomorrow night?
I think with the Demons, even though they lost a lot of kids from last year's playoff team, I think that the Demons should win. But this will be a step forward, especially in the rough and tumble Southwest Conference.
Let's go to another game out on the east side. Dale Witten will be at Euclid and Glenville. Of course, the Tar Blooders, always competitive. Euclid comes in there tomorrow. What do you think about Euclid and Glenville?
That'll be another close matchup. Euclid lost a few key players last season, but these two teams always play to the competitive ball. This game, last year, is going to be a toss-up.
Let's go to Jerry Sharp. He'll be at Highland tomorrow night. Brunswick at Highland. New coach Luke Beal is gone at Brunswick. They've got a new coach there. Highland, of course, the Hornets, always competitive. Good week one matchup there. We'll see if Brunswick can get going and get back on track. What do you make of that game?
I make of that game that with the new offense, I believe Brunswick will keep it more competitive, but Highland's got the home field advantage. I think Highland will win a close one.
Ruben Rodriguez will be out at Avon Lake for the Shoremen. They take on Elyria. Of course, you've got Jason Arno, the new head coach for the Pioneers. Elyria, tough year last year, and looks interesting on paper to see if they can get going against Avon Lake. Avon Lake lost to them in the opener 2 years ago in Avon Lake. We'll see how this year it's the cross rivalry game if they can get going again. What do you think of the Shoremen and the Pioneers?
The Elyria Pioneers returned some big dudes on defense, and I wouldn't put it past the Elyria to pull off an upset again on the road against Avon Lake. Granted, Avon Lake is a good team, I believe Elyria will have their number and pull off an upset.
Again, Jason Arno, new head coach at Elyria. We'll see if he can get the Pioneers on track. Rob Troutman and the boys of Sports on Tap, one of our great podcasts also here on NEOSI. He'll have his crew out in Brecksville where the Bees get going tomorrow night. They've got a new look as well with a new coach. They take on the always tough Bulldogs from Olmsted Falls. What do you think about the Bees and the Bulldogs tomorrow night in Brecksville? Always a great atmosphere out over by Wallings Road.
I believe there'll be a lot of offense in that game. I'm curious to see what the Olmsted Falls will do in game one in the Pope Spencer Winville area. All I can say is that there will be a lot of offense in this game. I can't predict the winner.
We go out to Willoughby, where one of our new guys, Mike Trevisano, not that Mike Trevisano, but one of our young new reporters, he'll be on hand for NDCL and Willoughby, a big game out on the east side. NDCL always competitive, so is Willoughby for that matter. What do you look at on this game?
Willoughby South is looking to bounce back in the tough Western Reserve Conference, and NDCL is always a good year-in, year-out competition. I believe NDCL will take this one, but Willoughby South will make the playoffs this year in the Western Reserve.
Ryan Kazmarski, of course, veteran reporter, worked with me many years. He'll be out in Columbia. We talked about Jason Ward and the Raiders. I did that preview yesterday for Columbia. They were competitive a year ago once again. Brandon Coleman, a 1,700-yard rusher a year ago. The Columbia Raiders at home for the Independence Blue Devils. That's a fun game. That could be a high-scoring affair. I love the outlook of the Raiders. They've got that offensive line for the five guys coming back. Again, Coleman for a big senior season. What do you look at out of the Blue Devils and the Raiders tomorrow night?
I believe Coleman will have another good senior season. And Independence, it's going to be a close game. This is another one that's too close to call as well. But it's going to be decided, I believe, by a late possession.
And finally, I'll be at Byers Field tomorrow night. Back-to-back nights at Byers Field. North Olmsted, the Eagles, fly into Byers Field tomorrow night to take on the Patriots of Valley Forge. Valley Forge getting one win a year ago. It was the last week of the season. They beat Normandy 21-0. But I'll tell you what, a young team on paper, Valley Forge, they're going to have their hands full because the Eagles beat them up last year in the opener 39-14, and that game was 39-0 before Valley Forge scored a couple of late touchdowns. But for a team that took their lumps a year ago, I think the Patriots are going to be much more competitive in 17. And the Eagles are always good. They've got that new stadium finally ready to go after playing last year at a variety of places, including Avon. What do you make of the Eagles and the Patriots week one?
I think that the Eagles should win this game easily, but I will for Valley Forge to improve as the season goes on.
Tony will be on hand at Cleveland.com tomorrow night, taking in all the scores. And then on Saturday, talk a little bit about your game on Saturday, Sean Shaker.
Shaker is going to be the dynamic duo of Jameer Dubuque and Micah Hill. But for Shaker Heights, and Shaw is a team I didn't really see at all last year. Well, I know that they went 4-6, but the last time Shaker played Shaw in 2009, Shaw won 42-7. But this will be a lot closer than a lot of people think.
Going to be very interesting. You know, one thing you got to look at when you talk about high school football, the elements. Week one, and, you know, you look at the area. I know a couple years ago, I'll never forget it, week one was nothing but thunderstorms. A lot of games either got pushed to Saturday because of lightning and thunder. I'm happy to report, looking at the forecast from WKYC Channel 3, Friday is expected to be 71 and sunny. No chance of showers at any point in time tomorrow. Only a 20% chance at any point in time. That means basically there is no chance, in my opinion. Looks like a great night for high school football on Friday. On Saturday, 73 and sunny. It should be two good nights for high school football. 69 and cloudy tonight for Parma and Lincoln West, for San Ignatius. And, of course, as we mentioned, the Mike Elder and the Avon Eagles start in Florida tonight. I have no idea what the weather is down there, but Elder told me a week ago that it's looking like going to be hot and sticky. So should be good to go for that game against Merritt down in Florida tonight for the Avon Eagles. Great week one of high school football on tap, and it looks like the weather's going to cooperate.
Yep, and Avon and Merritt Island, that should be a close game. And I saw the article a few days ago. It looks like Avon's going to be traveling to Walt Disney World after the game.
Yes, they are.
They are, or full of Mickey Mouse have to put the smiles on Eagle faces. We shall see.
We shall see. Again, it is a huge week one in high school football here in the Northeast Ohio area, and NEOSI will have you covered. All right, let me give you the quick rundown of what we got going on for tonight, tomorrow, and even on Saturday. First off, tonight, we told you a moment ago, we've got live video coverage on YouTube for Lincoln West and Parma. The link for that will be on NEOSI. And again, the play-by-play brought to you by AllSportsCleveland.com. So tune in tonight. You'll be able to see the link probably around 7 o'clock or 6:30, somewhere around there, for Lincoln West and Parma. On Friday, we will have 14 guys in and around the area. Cardinal Mooney against Cleveland Heights is another game we will have covered for you tomorrow night. Also, live video again tomorrow night at Byers Field. Myself and Eli Mooneyham will be on tap for North Olmsted and Valley Forge. We will again on YouTube Live have live video coverage. We'll have the link of that on the NAOSI site. We'll also have it on Facebook Live tomorrow night as well. We will be all over the place. Check out Twitter as well, NEO Sports Inside. We will have scores from in and around the area all night long. Eli will have the scoreboard for you tomorrow night. Make sure you get a chance to check that out. We will also be on two different radio stations tomorrow night that we have partnerships. Excited to announce that for 2017. We will be back with WEOL 930 AM in Elyria. They will have three games tomorrow night. You will see the links to all three of those games on NEOSI tomorrow afternoon. You can listen to any one of those three games direct from our site tomorrow. We will have some reporters on after the game with Dave Sprouse, one of our great coverage guys. He will actually be the scoreboard guy this year for AM 930 WEOL, so you can hear our reporters there. And we are pumped up to announce our new partnership with WKNR, ESPN 850 in the Cleveland area. We will have reporters on with them for High School Hysteria for Friday nights. We will have previews. We have a couple of reporters doing previews for them tomorrow. And we'll also have a number of reporters on after the game with AM 850 WKNR ESPN Radio in Cleveland. So again, all you got to do, if you're in and around the area tomorrow night, you can have obviously they're on the internet as well. You can listen to them there. You can listen to them in your car. Wherever you're at tomorrow night, hopefully you're at one of those great high school football games in and around the area, whether it's one we're covering or not. You can check us out all over the place for week one of high school football. And again, Saturday as well. Tony's going to be out at Shaw and Shaker Heights. Should be a fun game to watch. So that's all I got, Tony. Got any last minute thoughts on week one?
I can't wait for football, man.
Going to be a blast. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Special thanks to Tony Bogan. I'm Matt Lodi. Join us next week when we get ready for High School Week 2 here on the NEOSI High School Podcast Preview Show. Have a great day. God bless. Adios. We'll see you for Week 2 right here on NEOSportsInsiders.com.